pay for a new one. I'm sorry, I've had enough. The next time I saw Mum, she was lugging a holdall out to the car. Where are you going? I asked with a terrible sinking feeling because this had happened before. You're coming as well, said Mum. No way, not to Barry. He's boring. Uncle Barry lived near the golf course with his boring daughter Zoe, who stayed in her room all the time, listening to CDs by her favourite pop star Michelangelo. He can afford to be boring, said Mum, shooting Dad a frightening glance. I'm talking about my brother, who does an ordinary job and lives in an ordinary house that doesn't have holes in the roof or a huge rock in the garden. Oh, that's sort of boring, said Dad, risking a smile at the drill. Mum came and grabbed my arm. I'm not coming back while that rock's here. He'll have to get rid of it first. I thought this was really unfair. Dad can't get rid of the rock, Mum, not till he's finished his tests. Then he'll have to manage without us. Don't argue, just get in the car. Chapter 2. The next week was really boring. It wasn't until the next weekend that Mum let me go and see Dad. As soon as Dad opened the door, I asked how the tests were going. I'm on to something, said Dad. I knew, from what Mum had told me, the hire firm were on to him for wrecking their pneumatic drill. But from the keen look on his face, I wondered if Dad had struck lucky. He opened the fridge. It was empty, except for a small white cube, the size of a sugar lump, on one of Mum's best tea plates, covered over with cling film. Do you need to keep the rock fresh, Dad? I asked. And dry, said Dad. It's unstable. Now, take a good sniff. It smelt quite nice, like almonds and orange peel. I dabbed it with my finger and took a cautious lick. It tasted incredible, out of this world, but so strong it burnt my tongue and left it all fizzy and sticky. Dad laughed. Let me show you something. Lifting the lump off the plate, Dad took it across to the sink and dropped it into the bowl. It sank. Then seethed and frothed, heaving up out of the sink like freaky shaving foam, wobbling all over the place, shoving Mum's tea plate over the edge to smash on the kitchen floor. It spilled down the front of the cupboard. I stumbled back, horrified. And meanwhile, the lump in the sink was still spouting heaps more foam, bubbling, popping, and zizzing. I don't think I like this one bit, Dad. Why not? It's a crucial test. Very impressive. And in any case... Dad wiped his brow. Relax, it's run out of steam now. But what do we do with it, eh? Perhaps we should clear it up, Dad. Together we filled 9 bin bags and piled them outside the back door. Then we stood looking down the garden at the meteorite. Dad took a deep breath. It's amazing! We've discovered a new type of foam. It wasn't the sort of foam for stuffing into pillows, or filling up holes in walls, or spreading all over the attic to keep the house warm in the winter. Not in its natural state, because it was wet and sloppy. Though what would happen, I wondered, if it were dried or cooked? I did put a bit in the oven, said Dad. It melted and stuck to the tin. I broke a knife trying to cut it. The tin had to go in the bin. What if we froze it? I said. I tried in my lab, said Dad. He meant our garage. I'll show you. The freezer was at the far end. Dad took out a carton of foam. I left it 2 days, but it wouldn't freeze hard, so he took out another carton. I mixed up a bit with ice cream. Now this won't freeze either. Stays sloppy. It looked like the softest marshmallow, so light you could almost drink it. It's more like a smoothie, I said. No, smoothies are made out of fruit, said Dad, turning it upside down so it plopped into his hand, wobbling but holding its shape. Well, people want ice cream smoothie. Correction, a meteorite smoothie. But I had a better idea. I could see it in bright, flashing lights outside the ice cream parlour. Let's call it the Moon Mallow Smoothie. Chapter 3. I had to wait 2 weeks before I saw Dad again. This